My name is Pastor John. Today we have the honor and privilege to hear from some friends of ours, Tim and Joan Lafferty. Tim is currently the connecting pastor at Crossway Christian Church, and they're going to share with us about their journey through a dark time in their life and how they found hope, peace, and joy in Christ. Tim and Joan, it is great to be with you guys. Can you take a moment and just tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Well, Tim and I, we met at college, and then about a year and a half after college, we decided it was time to get married. And so we enjoyed the time as husband and wife, and 2.5 years later, we decided it would be great to start a family. And that's a goal that Tim and I both had, that we'd love to be parents. And so we started down that road, and we had Pete, and then 2 years later, we had Joe.
As we were young parents with two little boys and a growing family, and we had a lot of fun.
Joan, there was a difficult event when you were a child that ended up shaping your story. Tell us a little bit about that.
When I was 12 years old, my brother was diagnosed with cancer. And from diagnosis to death, he was only alive 6 months. And so at that time, you always wonder, why did that happen in my life? But I think it prepared me that life sometimes has hard things, but you still can get through them and it can still be good. And so that just was something that I always learned at a young age. And little did I know that maybe down the road that might pertain and be a great experience that I went through that helped me for the future.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about Pete and Joe. Can you tell us about them?
We bought our first home in Milford, just down the road from here. And we had a small little home and raising our boys. And Pete was in a preschool program. He was 3.5 and Joe was 1.5 at the time. And we noticed some delays that Pete was experiencing. But to us, we didn't think anything significant about that. He had some delays in walking. But once he started to walk, he made up ground pretty quick. And then he also had some delays in talking. And friends would say that's not unusual. It's not unusual for boys to have some delays. And so we thought we would at least mention that to our doctor. He said he was going to just run a few tests, and then we would see him in a week or so. And early on a Monday morning, we got a phone call from the doctor's office saying the doctor wanted to see both of us that day. And we thought that was rather unusual. Something must be up. And so Joan and I went in that morning to meet with the doctor, and the doctor told us the result of the test that was done on Pete, and he told us in very direct terms that Pete was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, a type of muscular dystrophy that only affects boys. And it's a fatal disease, and there's no cure. To hear that just broke our hearts. And then obviously there was a concern for our son, Joe. He also was experiencing some delays in walking and delays in talking. And he was tested, and a couple days later it was confirmed that he had Duchenne muscular dystrophy as well.
Those first couple of days, really the first few hours even, must have been terrible and difficult, challenging.
Well, you're sort of in a daze because at first you think it's like, is this a dream and I'm going to wake up and it's going to go away? But it was like not going away. And my parents happened to be at the house with the boys while we went to the doctor appointment. And it was just really hard to come home and have to share that. And knowing how heartbreaking that will be for my parents, reliving like my brother passing away and knowing the road we might be on. So I think it was a time where it was so much uncertainty and not knowing, and how do you sleep and how do you process this? And, you know, it took a good 24 hours to just be able to step back from it a little bit, because you really have to, you're so intense when you first hear, but then you really have to step back and, all right, let's look at this a little bit from afar. But it was definitely a period of, you know, just being in a daze, not knowing who to talk to, what to do. It was just a hard time. And you didn't want the boys to see us crying, so you had to sort of step back and say, you know, you had to be careful because you didn't want them to be really afraid, like, what's wrong, mommy? And No, eventually we were able to communicate that and talk to them, but you have to process it yourself. And Tim and I did a really good job helping each other because it would tend that we were both never down at the same time. One would be up, one would be down, and we could talk through it. So that really helped.
I remember initially after the diagnosis, my heart literally ached. It's the only time in my life that my heart has ached. And I realized back then my heart broke with that news. And that was back in early 1989. And unlike today, where you can hop on the internet and you can learn just about anything you want to about anything, back then we didn't have that opportunity. And so I think it was the next day I went to the library in Milford and I found a book that talked about muscular dystrophy and the different types. And I sat there in the Wadley Library in Milford reading about the diagnosis. And it was as if I was reading about Pete and Joe. I remember literally weeping sitting there in the library. And as we, over the coming days, kind of begin to get our arms around what it meant. Back then, the life expectancy for boys that had Duchenne muscular dystrophy was late teens, maybe early 20s, if you're lucky. And so for us, in the midst of our heartache, we knew life was going to be very different, that our boy's life would be much shorter than we would have ever imagined or ever hoped. And to know that, you know, back then they were able to walk, but given it's a progressive muscle-wasting disease, that over time they would lose the ability to walk, they would lose the ability to feed themselves, to care for themselves, and the level of care that they would need would be significant. So all of that kind of came to us early on in the diagnosis, which was really quite overwhelming.
So coaching Pete and Joe through this must have been a really difficult thing. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the decisions you made going into that?
Well, I think a lot of times we would be age appropriate. At first, we would just try to explain that their muscles were weaker and they might not be able to do as much as other children their age. And that was good. And eventually, as they asked questions, we always were honest and truthful with them. We always, if they asked a question, it might be hard to answer, but they needed to know exactly what was going on. And, you know, I remember one time I was in the car with Pete and he said, I have a question for you. He goes, you know, I know my lungs are a muscle, my heart's a muscle. And how long do I have to live? And I think for me, I never had that question. So I had to hold it together and answer that appropriately. And at that point, Pete was 12. Joe wasn't with us. I think it was sort of good that it was just one-on-one, Pete and I, because I could just, Pete was very smart and he liked to know everything. So I think for him, I just explained it. But you know, you're trying to drive the car and answer a question and you're like trying to hold it together. But I mean, that was just the beginning of some conversations that were really helpful for Pete. He liked to just process it, or he would expect the worst instead of like knowing that he'd do better.
And so, I think as we grieved, we got to the place of acceptance pretty quickly, and we didn't deny what the diagnosis was. And I remember early on as well, after the diagnosis, that you know, God just spoke to my heart as clear as I've ever heard him in my life. And what he put on my heart was in reminding me that he was their father, that we had the great blessing of being their earthly parents, but that God was their father and that he had a plan and a purpose for their life, and that out of his great mercy, he was entrusting them to us for a time, and then one day we would give them back. And that brought, at that point, a lot of clarity to me as a dad, and I think for Joan and I as a couple. It gave us an opportunity to really reorient some priorities. And we pledged that we, even though the boys' lives would be shorter than we would have hoped or would have ever dreamt of, that they could still have a great life. And that we knew on our own that we couldn't do it. And so it was really a key moment in our spiritual journey as well to step out in faith and to trust that they were in God's hands and that he would provide and he would take care of them, and that we would trust him throughout this journey.
What other kinds of beauty came out of these difficult experiences that you had?
I think we never took anything for granted. Like, every day was a gift, and everything we could do with the boys. I mean, we did a lot of adventures, and even just walking in the neighborhood, just spending time together, even if it was hard for Joe. Sometimes he was just in bed. He couldn't really do anything, but we'd sit in his room, have dinner with him. We would just enjoy every little moment sometimes in each day, just to be together as a family.
I think things we thought were important, we realized really aren't important. And so it gave us an opportunity to focus on just the gift of being together. And the physical decline for our younger son, Joe, was more steep than Pete. And so Joe, it was harder for him than it was for Pete early on and throughout the many of the years. And yet Joe had this way about him. He, too, had just a deep faith and trust in God. And we had a front row seat in watching God work in and through the boys. But watching our sons live out their faith, given very challenging circumstances with the diagnosis that they had. And Joe taught us a lot, not only Joan and I, but his brother Pete. And Joe had this gift and ability to be completely present. He didn't worry about yesterday. He didn't focus on tomorrow. He lived in the present better than anybody we've ever met. And I think that's how we all should live. You know, none of us know about tomorrow, but we have the gift of today. And even though things were very challenging and difficult for Joe, he had this amazing joy, this amazing peace. He had the hope of Christ, the hope of heaven. And his friends were very important to him. And just time together was a gift, and it was really significant. That's one of the ways we wanted to live, just day by day by day. We knew we wouldn't have, you know, all of these years together, but we prayed that God would give us a lot of days. And he did. And he gave us many years in that. And then God called our son Joe home first. And Joe passed at the age of 20 back in 2007. And it was obviously very difficult after that because we grieved his passing. And Pete and Joe were very, very close, and they did everything together. They were close as brothers. But I think what brought them even closer was they shared a common journey together, a difficult journey. And they did that together. And then after Joe passed, you know, Pete was there, and his best buddy wasn't alongside anymore. And so it was very difficult for Pete, but we knew that he would have to find his way. And, you know, we grieved independently, but we grieved together as well. And we tried to help each other as we walked each through our journey of grief.
How would you say that your relationship with God changed in this process, if at all?
I think it made it a lot stronger and deeper, because we always had the belief, but it was just, you know, after you live through something like that, it just teaches you so much that God was always there and he never left us. And even though we might feel alone and be home and be tired and whatever, we knew that God was always on our side.
It certainly increased our reliance upon him. And we grew in ways that I think In ways perhaps we wouldn't have apart from the journey that we were on. And, you know, I remember there's a passage of Scripture that has spoken to our hearts over the years that as a family we have clung to. And it's words from the Apostle Paul is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, where Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light momentary troubles are achieving us an eternal glory that far surpasses them all." And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And there's so much in those verses that just encouraged us and spoke to us as a family that we try not to lose heart. And literally, the boys' bodies were wasting away day by day. And yet inwardly, God was renewing them and working in and through them. And we saw that. And so we really did try to fix our eyes not on those things that are seen, that are temporary, but those things that are unseen, that are eternal. You know, as people journey through life, and even now as we live through this pandemic, it's an opportunity to kind of really step back and kind of take stock of the things that really matter, that are really important. And in so doing, I think, you know, people have questions, people have concerns, and people are seeking hope. They're seeking something more than what this life can give. And, you know, and we have seen from our own journey just how God meets you right where you're at and how he provides. And so, you know, we are just filled with hope, and we are encouraged that God is on the move. God is at work, and he is drawing people to himself and changing people's hearts and lives. And I think, you know, for us, maybe perhaps collectively, you know, we've had this sense of we're in control. And the pandemic hits, and I think we realize perhaps that's an illusion. There's so much that is out of our control. And, you know, to equate that to the journey with our boys, there was nothing we could do to change the fact that they had muscular dystrophy. We could not take that away. And so we had to kind of live with our hands open and in many ways relinquish control that we really never had in the first place, and rely more on God and recognizing that he is the one that truly is in control. And so I think even in the days in which we live, that, you know, there's opportunity for all of us to, you know, trust God more.
Pete recorded a video for you a short time before he passed away.
Well, Pete was diagnosed with liver cancer the last 10 months of his life. But when it was about 2 months after his diagnosis, he just said, "I need to do a video that will play at my funeral, but you can't see it until my funeral." And so one night, Tim and I went out to a small group, and there was a young man that came over that was a videographer, and he recorded Pete's message. He kept that, and no one else saw it until just like the day before the funeral. People just looked at it to make sure how it would play out in the service. And then we got to see it with about 800 other people at Pete's funeral service, his celebration of life service.
I remember coming home from small group the night Pete recorded that. We knew he was recording whatever he wanted to share, but we had no idea what he shared. And I remember when his friend left, I said to Pete, "How'd it go?" And he said, "Good." And I didn't ask him what he said, but I knew from the way he responded, he was happy with what he had recorded. And we knew one day we would see that. When God called him home, you know, we would see that video. We would hear directly from Pete in that video. And so it was positioned near the end of the celebration, and we had a wonderful time of worship, and our pastor gave just a great message and then led into Pete's video. And I think many of the people who were there were kind of thinking it was going to be, you know, a video with pictures and songs, but as our pastor kind of set it up, it became evident that we were going to hear from Pete directly. And so for us to be surrounded by so many people who we love and care about, and for us to see that for the very first time and hear from Pete was just amazing. And as we've reflected back on that, that was a huge gift that Pete gave to us.
He was amazing because even at the end when he got jaundice, he didn't care what he looked like. He said, I'm still going out in public. And we thought, would I be able to do that? But he went to church the Sunday before he died. I mean, he saw everybody. I mean, it was had a small group Wednesday, and then he passed away Friday morning. So he still wanted to keep doing as much as he could up to the end. So
well, we're kind of wrapping things up. So is there anything else that you'd like to tell our audience, let them know about your journey or about Pete and Joe?
Pete was working on a gift for us that he wanted us to have for Christmas. And he knew he probably wouldn't be around still at Christmas. So one day he woke up and he kept talking about the post office. And I didn't really know what he was saying. But that day that gift came and he said, put that under the tree. That's for Christmas. And that night Pete went to sleep. And in the morning he passed away in his sleep. But I think Pete, that was the last thing on his list. And he wanted to make sure that was in our home before he was ready to go. And so that Christmas, we opened that book, and just the gift, even though Pete put it together with a friend, it just encouraged us in such a huge way. And we remember reading one line. He said, even though Joe wasn't still here for this book, I still included him in so many ways. And Pete wrote, and we've had great lives. And just to read that, and even though how hard their life was, for Pete to be able to say, I had a great life. And isn't that special that hopefully all of us can say, I've had a great life, even if it's shorter than you expected, shorter than you planned, just to know that he said, I had a great life.
You know, in the video that Pete had made toward the end of his life, near the end of that video, Pete said, I have fought the good fight. I have won the race. I have kept the faith. And he was really quoting 2 Timothy 4:7. And we were so encouraged by that. But my encouragement to all of you is just that, to continue to fight the good fight, you know, to continue on in our race, so to speak, and to keep the faith and to press on. There is something amazing for us, you know, at the end of our lives. And, you know, Scripture is quite clear, you know, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, you know, we're promised this eternal, this everlasting life. And that doesn't start when we, at the end of our life, it starts when we enter into that relationship with Jesus. And even in the midst of the struggles and challenges of life, Jesus promises we can have this abundant life. And that's in and through him. And, you know, we can live that out to a watching world. And one day, God's going to call each of us home, and we'll have that opportunity to be face-to-face in the presence of God. And, you know, with all those that have gone on before us, and having our sons gone on before, there's just a longing in my heart and in our hearts, you know, for that day. And quite frankly, we look forward to that day, to be in the presence of God in all his glory. And that's going to be an amazing day. You know, it's hard. Life on earth is hard, but you know, we don't go it alone. And if we can link arms with others and just cling to the truth and the the promises that God gives us in His Word, then, you know, we can overcome whatever it is we might be facing.
Hello, it's me. Greetings from heaven. Thank you for coming out today to celebrate a blessed life indeed. I know this is a difficult time for all of you, but I have some words of wisdom and reflections from a wonderfully blessed life. First and foremost, my faith is what got me to this point and what got me to a better place called heaven. My faith is summed up on this verse, which is John 3:16 from the Bible, which says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I give you permission to grieve me on this earth, but do not grieve like people without hope. First of all, I want to thank you, Mom and Dad. You just truly made my life a blessing, and you always encouraged and supported me and kept me going when the times got tough. The adventures we went on were so fun, and you treated me and my brother so well, and I'm so grateful to be spending time with Joe again, and I'll be waiting for you guys.